Lord. Good song. Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. Again, the sixth chapter. We've been studying on the armor of God. Started Wednesday night. We take each piece of armory that Paul mentions and we go and expound on it and learn how to operate in that area of our lives from spiritual, from the Word of God. And we will have, all things being equal and they working well, we will have, if you go to our website and to our Facebook page, Remarkably Ministries, we'll have all these sermons up on that, and then we're going to take some of these sermons and we're going to make some books out of it. My wife has no more books. We sold them all. I told her she needs to order a bunch more because we've got someplace to go next week. And God's good, isn't He? Amen. Ephesians 6 has been our starting off point and very good stuff. Let me turn over there. Oh, Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse number 10. Been a privilege to be here with you guys. I've been here four times the 5 years that the church has been here, and we appreciate the opportunity to come, the hospitality that has showed us, time of fellowship, looking at some new faces and mostly familiar faces, and it's always good to see those. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word, and that your Word does not return into you void, but it accomplishes that which you please, and it prospers in the thing whereunto you sent it. Father, tonight your Word is being sent forth, and as it's sent forth, we bind any distractions, any hindrances, anyone that is in this place tonight that might be hindered to hear the things of God. We bind any distractions so they can hear the Word, and that it may have free course out of my heart, through my lips, to your people tonight. I thank you for everything that you've done so far, and I just decree and declare that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper in Jesus' name, and that Satan will not steal the word that's been placed in the hearts of God's people in Jesus' name. And I give God the glory and praise, and everybody that believed that prayer said amen. Amen. Everybody that believed that prayer said praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody believed that prayer said preach it, Brother Mark. For at least 2 hours. Okay. No, we won't do that. We kind of just summarize here. We started the first night. We went into the loins girt about with the truth. You got to have the truth on. That's your belt. That's your balance. That holds you together. Amen. Number two, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. If you're a child of God, righteousness should shine. It should emanate off of you, but it's not your righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness, right? And then we talked about the next night, we talked about something that was near and dear to me, is having feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod means to be tightly fitted, and the Roman soldiers, his shoes had 1 to 3 inch spikes on him. They were to help him be stable, and when he was moving forward with God, it helped him trample his enemy. It's called the preparation of the gospel of peace. As I said Friday night, I don't ever think about peace being a weapon, but it is a weapon, because Jesus was in a bad, bad, bad storm, and the disciples were in the front of the ship, and they were afraid they were going to sink. They woke up Jesus. He went to the front of the ship, and he spoke to the storm. He rebuked it, and the first words out of his mouth were, "Peace, be still." So he used peace as a weapon. And then I enjoyed last night. It was very good. The Lord really came down and visited us and ministered to us. And we talked about the shield of faith. You have to have the shield of faith. You can't win the fight if you don't have the shield. This battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against brother so-and-so. It's not against sister so-and-so. It's really not even against the government. Amen. This battle is a battle in your mind, and the enemy is there attacking your mind. And we brought that about this morning when we talked about the helmet of salvation. So why is it so important to put on the helmet of salvation? Because everything God does for you, it comes through that salvation package that was delivered unto you when Jesus was delivered to the cross. Amen. And you have to renew your mind to the Word of God. You have to protect your mind. You cannot think filth and not do filth. You'll do it every time. Why am I doing what I'm doing? It's what you're thinking. Nobody did something. We say, well, they, I wasn't even thinking when I did that. No, you were. That's why you did what you did. Amen. You should have been thinking it. If you hadn't been thinking it, you wouldn't have done it. Amen. And so let's move on. Last one, my fave, I guess I would say it that way. The kids say fave today. Amen. They don't say favorite. They say fave. My fave today, tonight, is the one that is probably the most obviously known around charismatic and Pentecostal circles. And it is, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Boy, that's a good thing to have the Word of God, isn't it? Now, I've heard people do, seen people do this, especially at Pentecost. They'll grab their Bible when they're rebuking the devil. And it's good, we have to rebuke the devil, because if we don't, he won't leave. But when they take their Bible and they shake it at the devil, I want to just want you to know something just right off the bat. That's not the stupidest thing you could do, but it's pretty close to it. It doesn't do anything to the devil. You're shaking the Bible at him. Don't mean one cotton picking thing to him. It's if you know what's in it, it alarms him. Amen? See, the Bible says there, take the sword of the Spirit, and as we've said every service, that Paul used a Roman soldier because everybody of his day could identify with them, because they were the most military strong empire in the world. And he wanted us to realize there's a connection between each piece of armor physically and what it represents spiritually, and that we're in a warfare. So he took the sword of a Roman soldier and he typified it as being the Word of God. Now, there's two things you need to know about that. Number one, in the spiritual or the spiritual side of this, first thing you need to know is there's two different words for the statement Word of God. Two different Greek words in the Bible for Word of God. One means logos. Can you say logos with me tonight? There are a lot of different Christian publishing companies that use the word logos in the term of their company. And logos means the written Word of God, your Bible, what's in your hand. Amen. We very first service we talked about, it's very important you have the logos, that you open up your logos and you read it. You open up your Bible and you read it. Now, that's not the word that is used in this Bible, in this reference here tonight. It's not, it doesn't say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the logos. That's not what it means. The other word is the word rhema. Okay? So let's take that right. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Greek word is rhema. Rhema is a divine supernatural utterance that comes into your heart and makes the Word alive. And then you speak that life-giving Word out your mouth. I want to say that again. All right? Because, and you're going to see this from, if we get raptured, I'm sorry, I know Brother and Sister Yates will go if we get raptured, so that's just tough, but you all make sure you're ready, right with God, because I might get raptured tonight, okay? I know it's going to be hard to preach if we're all not here, and you are, but you might have to do it, okay? Anyhow, just make sure you're ready, okay? Here, let's see this again. This, you're gonna find out this is so true. You know, the Greek words and the fact that Paul uses this Roman soldier illustration and New Testament theology, you're gonna see all this fits together. It's really cool. Okay, I'll say this again. Logos is the written word. That's not the sword. You don't chase the word, you don't chase the devil away with the logos, the written word. But the word, our Greek word is the word rhema. The other Greek word for the word of God is rhema. Rhema means, or what is happening with the rhema word is, you may have heard people say that, I need a rhema word from God. And you do, and we said it in the very first service. God won't give you a rhema word if you don't have the logos in your heart. But the Holy Spirit can take a word from God's word and make it alive in your heart. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever read something in the Bible 50,000 times, and 50,000 the first time, all of a sudden, whoo, the light comes on, right? That's the Holy Spirit. He's making that word a rhema word to you. Now, literally what he's doing is he's speaking to your heart the Word of God. And it becomes alive in you. See, the Bible says in Genesis, the first chapter, that principle worked. God saw, you know, before God ever created the world, he planned it. In his mind, God had logos. But the Bible says, before he ever spoke it, that the Spirit of God hovered on the earth. That's the Holy Spirit. So that word became alive when God spoke it, and the Holy Spirit mingled with it, because the Holy Spirit's the creative part of God, okay? And bam, it came alive. Well, see, God's put words from His Word in your heart. Memorize Scripture, read the Bible, they're in there. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, He begins to speak that word to your heart, it becomes alive, and then you speak that live verse out your mouth, all right? There are Scriptures, and if we got time, I'll show you how I do it. There are Scriptures that I say every day. Sometimes when I say them, I'm just saying them. But there are always times in that process of doing that, that the Holy Spirit makes it alive in me, and when I speak it out my mouth, it becomes a sword of the Spirit. All right? Now this is good. This is good. This is plum good. You know what plum good is? That's Southern for good. All right? Let me tell you what plum good is here. What the word sword means in the Greek. In the time the Bible was written, there were seven Greek words to typify seven different types of swords that a Roman soldier would use. Some of them were flat, some of them was only one edge, some of them was two edge. Oh, this is a good one, okay? Because the Bible says, get out of here in Jesus' name. It's a moth. Is it a moth or?
No, it's not.
Kill it, Jim. Pat me on the back. Tell me I'm doing a good job. Thank you. You kind of overdid the compliment there. Amen. I need a rhema word from God. Amen. Why'd you get in the offering? Well, I got stung. Amen. Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You know what that was? That was a rhema word from God. Amen. I wasn't even thinking about that scripture. Bam, there it was. See what I'm saying? Isn't that good? Thank you, Dead Wasp, for your great help there. Okay. Let's move on. Man, I forgot anything here. Now let me tell you how this happens, okay? The word for sword is so good. Because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God that comes out your mouth. It's not the Bible you chase around the devil with, because that don't work anyway. It's this word of God that comes out your mouth. Seven Greek words that, because there were seven, not all these words are in the Bible, but there's seven different Greek words that are talk about swords, because a Roman soldier had seven different swords to use. But this one is such a good word. It's the word makara, okay? M-A, we would spell it M-A-C-H-U-R-I-A, the word sword there. Now listen, there's a reason. It was a two-edged sword, but it had a curve on the end of it. And the end of it had, it was real, real sharp to be sticky. And this mess, and you didn't use it like this, you used it like this. You didn't use it like, since we're taping, you didn't use it where you kind of swung it around left to right. You used it to penetrate your enemy. And a man that was really skilled in using that, I don't mean to be gross, I'm just telling you, this kind of sword Jesus wants us to use, okay? And that point you would, once you got it inside the insides of your enemy, you would search out organs while you're fighting, and you would stick him with it, and you would twist that sword, and it would tear his insides out. That's a pretty good shouting place right there. Evidently, y'all don't get it yet. That's a real good shouting place. No, see, this is not what we do to each other. I mean, yeah, we do it to each other, but it's not what we're supposed to do to each other. I know a lot of Christians, they're so mean and nasty and ugly. Well, they're not really Christians. A lot of church people, they're so mean and nasty and ugly, they just kind of rip your guts out the way they treat you and the lies they tell about you and stuff like that. Can I have an amen or a holy grunt or something tonight? Amen? But that's not the kind of, that's not what you use that spoken word for. The Bible says there that that sword of the Spirit in the Greek is makara, and makara is used to tear the insides of your enemy out. And the name of your enemy is the devil. And I want you to know, he's been ripping your guts out for years and upsetting you from the inside out. It's time you rise up with the sword of the Spirit and rip his guts out, baby.
Amen.
Come on.
Go ahead and preach.
Just like this wasp here.
Treading on the
serpent. Amen. Yeah, well, amen. Now, let's go on here. Is this good stuff or what? Okay, let me make a statement to you. When the living word speaks the written word in the spirit realm, it becomes a sword. How many know if you're on the side of the sword, it's not too bad? But if you're not, you're in trouble, baby. Go to Revelation. Revelation 1:16. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, so whatever he saw what you see in the Spirit. Right? So ever how he saw Jesus was exactly what he really looks like. Okay? And I think I've repeated myself on this a couple of times, but Jesus is not a skinny hippie with a bunch of ugly sheep under his arms. No, that's not Jesus. I think some of those pictures are good, and I think some of them aren't good at all. Okay? And let's just describe one of the things when John saw Jesus, what he looked like. Okay? It says, and his feet like unto fine brass, and there burned in a furnace, as his voice, verse 15, as voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So look at what John saw. He saw something like a two-edged sword. It's talking about Jesus. Where was the two-edged sword coming out of? His heart? His mind? His ears? No. His mouth. Something had to release that. He saw Jesus speaking the word. Now, if you just see me say, like, you know, if you heard me, let's say you came to my motel room and you heard me, you might have heard me, you might have saw me, and you heard me or saw me in the morning, you might have heard or saw me say something like, the Lord is the strength, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or the Lord is my light, my Psalms 27, I say that a lot, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? Now you might hear me say that, but you might come to that door and hear me say it, but you can tell at this moment, this isn't just me saying it, you can tell that there's an anointing on it when I say it, right? The Lord is my shepherd, He's nobody else's shepherd, He's going to be my shepherd, and because He's my shepherd, I'm not going to want. You may hear it, you may sense something, you may feel it, but you will not see what the devil sees in the spirit world when I say that. He doesn't see just me saying words. He sees a two-edged sword coming out my mouth to slice and dice and chop up. You know, I love the verse in Deuteronomy 28 says that if we're walking with God, the enemy comes against us one way and he flees before us seven. Isn't that cool? You ever seen those little cartoons where this thing... That stuff like that happens where some creature runs you up and tries to hurt somebody and they cut them up and there's seven of them run off. Amen. You know what that verse really means? In the Bible, there are seven compound names, Hebrew names, that every other name for God goes under the category of. Like the Lord my healer, the Lord my righteousness, the Lord my banner, the Lord that will provide. That means when the devil comes against me, that by the time God's done with his attack, not only will he not be able to be successful in the area that he attacks me in, there'll be six other areas that he'll be stopped in. And you know how God does it? When you speak the word. When you speak the word. Amen? And everybody say that with me. Because see, Jesus is the living word, but the Bible says that we're living epistles read before all men. The Bible says we're an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can I say it this way? When I'm walking with God, I am God's living word. And when I speak the word of God, he, the devil, sees that sword of the Spirit. Let's move on, okay? Go with me to Hebrews 4, okay? Praise the Lord. We're saying, okay, Mark. Hebrews 4. Very familiar portion of scripture. Oh, we're going to depart from the ordinary. Hebrews 4. Ultimately, this is talking about Jesus, okay? But we've heard this verse quoted a million times, I'm sure, or close to it. Hebrews 4:12. You know, for the sake of time, I'm not reading a lot of the passages in these chapters. Because I don't want to waste our time. I'm not waste our time. It'd be good to do it, but waste our time because there's just some points with certain scriptures I really want to drive home tonight. Verse number 12. And this is all, before I read this, I don't want to miss saying this. I know this has got to be tiring to do this so many nights in a row. And I appreciate those that have been so faithful. It just really, I appreciate it. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. Old King James Word means it's alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I could preach all kinds of things about that verse. There's so much in that verse. But there's a reason I read that verse, okay? It's a two-edged sword. So the way it becomes a two-edged sword is when we speak it, right? Or the Holy Spirit deals with our heart and He cuts and He divides flesh from spirit and stuff like that. But there's a very interesting thing here. This is so good. When you read that in the root word for the word two-edged sword, the root word is just unbelievable. The word it came from. The word for two-edged means two-mouthed sword. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It means a two-mouthed sword. What's that? What do you mean, Brother Mark? Well, I know it's a two-edged sword because we've already proven that from Scripture. But why? But it actually literally means where it's drawn from is the word a two-mouthed sword. Why would it use the word two-mouthed sword? Because how many know there's two mouths involved in it? Amen. All right. Amen. Now, go to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Jesus being tempted. Keep what I just said in mind. I don't want to fail to turn here, because this is the best example of the sword of the Spirit in operation. Jesus is our example. Sister, whatever her name is that goes to jails, I can't think of her name. She was preaching this sermon to me, and I was like, I don't care if she thinks I got it from her or not. We both, it doesn't matter. Okay. But look at verse number 1. You're going to see both mouths in this, okay? It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who led him? How did he lead him? He probably spoke to him, right? Somehow he connected with what the Holy Spirit was saying to him. Was the Holy Spirit speaking? Yeah. Look what the next verse says. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. He was hungry. His flesh was weak. But how many know he's in tune with God? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. The word there for word is the word rhema. But by every rhema word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's just such a beautiful example, because the very thing that Jesus is talking about is the very thing he's doing at that very moment. See, he's being tempted of the devil to eat something when the Lord hasn't led him to do that yet, because he's being led of the Lord so he can be tempted for us, so that when he goes to the cross, he can die for us, okay? Without any sin. Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe the Holy Spirit spoke the verse for him to quote against the devil to say it is written? Of course he did. You know he did. He didn't. No word does it say, and Jesus got his concordance out. And he got his cell, we didn't say this, and he got his iPhone out. And he spoke to him and he said, give me scriptures concerning being tempted to eat. May I tell you something? If you do that, that's wonderful that you do that. And then you put those scriptures in your heart. But because you got them off your phone, they may be true scriptures, but they're not rhema to you yet. You just read them. You keep reading them and speaking them. And as you do so, then the Holy Spirit can make them rhema to you. Amen. You don't start off as a rhema. I got a rhema word right here out of the concordance. No, you didn't. You got a word from the God's word out of the concordance. You got a logos. You're just looking up logos. Jesus didn't have a Bible when he quoted that. Holy Spirit spoke that verse. Oh yeah, Jesus is the living word and he knew the Bible. I mean, anytime your parents are looking for you for 3 days and you're in the temple and all the Jewish rabbis and lawyers, that lawyers didn't mean legal, it meant theologians, are amazed at what you answer. You know Jesus knew the word. But he wasn't just opening his Bible. He had scriptures in his heart that he'd been meditating on. And when the devil tempted him, Holy Spirit spoke the scripture he was to use, and then Jesus spoke that scripture out like a sword, and you know he spoke it like a sword because he said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Do y'all notice that the devil got off the subject in a hurry? Why, he's about to get his guts ripped out. Amen. Let's move along. Let's move along, okay? Okay, yeah. You're okay, Jesus. So I had to tempt him in another area. But he said there, the quote was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Read it the way the Greek is, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do you live by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God? He speaks it, you live by it, you speak it. If he speaks it and you don't live and you don't speak it, you're not living by it. You know, one time Jerry Savelle, guy I used to love to listen to, he was in a grocery store and he had just got through with a service where he'd been preaching to him about God being the God that's more than enough. And he had everybody say that. And one lady said she got a revelation of it. And then he was in the grocery store a couple of days after that. And this same lady was an aisle over from him and she was looking at the prices and she said, I don't know how we're going to make it. This is ridiculous. So we can't afford this food anymore. It's ridiculous. So she got around the corner in the same aisle Jerry Savelle was, not knowing that she had said, he heard what she said. He says, oh, Brother Jerry, it's so great to see you. That was so good what you preached about God being more than enough and being meeting all our needs. Hallelujah. I just love that. How many know she's lying? See, she heard a rhema word, but she didn't live by it. What she should have said was, when she didn't see him, is I think, my God, he's still God. That's more than enough. How many know that's a two-mouthed word? The first mouth is what God says, and the second mouth is what you say based on what God spoke to you, okay? Go to Psalms 29. When you speak that word that God gave you, it becomes a two-edged sword. I've got this thing in my spirit that the Lord's... Now, I don't think you need to run around and tell some people what God spoke to your heart about from the Word, because some people will just... They'll baptize you and you can't juice.
You can't do that. Brother Smith believed that way and he died. Brother, Sister so-and-so believed that day she got cancer and she stood on the Word of God for years and she still died. Well, we all gonna die.
There's a lot of people stood on the Word and got healed too. Why don't you bring those people up? There's one leading evangelical that's coming against Pentecostals and he said, I dare you to show me one miracle. And you know what? They found out that he doesn't even, when you bring that to him, he denies that you're telling the truth, even if you got information. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to be right. How many know when you want to be right, whether you're right or not, if you want to be right, a lot of times people that just want to be right, they want their theology to be right. They don't care if anybody challenges it. They're just going to deny that theology and they're just going to, because they're not hungry for truth, they're hungry to be right. Amen. Well, that's a mouthful. Go to Psalms 29. How many know when God speaks something, it keeps going? Yeah, it doesn't stop. When God says something, he doesn't, the voice of what he says continues. Yes. The Bible says he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Hebrews, the first chapter, I believe it is. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. I want to ask you a question. Did the earth move around its access to this today? Not a hard question, did it? Did you see the sun today? Did you see water? I see a bunch of water from Clinton here every day. Did you see grass today and trees today? Did you see all that? Yeah. Is it still going? Is the voice of his word continuing? If he said, let there be light, he did say in the Hebrew, he just said, light be, and light was. Was there light today? Yeah. Well, evidently, whatever he said, it's still out there. How many know everything that God said is still out there? No, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Read Psalms 29 here. Psalms 29. Okay, listen to what it says here. This is good. Verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Y'all believe the voice of the Lord is upon the waters? Well, that didn't say God's word is upon the waters. It said the voice, that's the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Well, how many know if he spoke something about waters, evidently that word's still talking today because the waters are still there. Right? Amen. You can just use that same theory all the way through these verses. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. How many know the God's voice is still powerful today? It's still out there. Right? The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip it like a calf, Lebanon, and Saturn young, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. You ought to just light a fire and watch the flames split. When they split, you can say, the voice of the Lord still working. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. I just think since Brother Pastor Jim and them, they raised mules and stuff, I think you could say the voice of the Lord's over those mules, right? All of that's the voice of the Lord. See, what you don't realize is his word's out there. Same one. Let me give you an example of this. How many know right now there are radio and television waves in this room? They're in this room, man. If you turn on your radio and it doesn't work, you do not call the station. So there's something wrong with your station. It won't pick up. Let's say you don't have any batteries in your radio and you turn it on and it doesn't work. You don't call whatever the name of the local radio station says, there's something wrong with your station. I turned my radio on, it wouldn't work. There's got to be something wrong with your radio station. I just know it is. I just feel it in my spirit. You dummy, go get some batteries. There's nothing wrong with the station and the frequency and what is booming out there. The problem's not in the station. It's in the receiver. It's out there. It's always been out there. You know, we got all this digital television, but I got me a digital TV antenna now. Amen. For years, I didn't have one of those after we had to go to digital. Just had Roku. And for years, my son bought me a real nice one for Christmas this year. And I can watch see some things local that I hadn't been able to see before. But you know, the whole time I didn't have that antenna, it was still broadcasting. Right. Amen. Well, I don't believe television's there anymore because after all, if it was there, I'd be able to see it. If it was real, bless God, I'd be able to see it. Thank you, brother. The voice of the Lord's over many waters. Amen. Amen. I believe, Brother Jim, that it passed away with the last antenna. I remember back in the good old days when you could turn on Channel 12 out of Joplin, Missouri, and you could watch it without any problem, but something's happened. God doesn't work on Channel 12 anymore. Bless His holy name. We don't need it anymore. We've had it all this time. How many know the whole time? Well, you can get it with an antenna now too, digital antenna. Glory to God. You know what I'm going to tell you right now? How many know it's always been there? It never stopped being there. It's always been there. There wasn't no problem whatsoever with the station. Problem was I didn't have the right receiver, okay? But when I got the right receiver, I could pick up the station. Right now, the voice of the Lord's in this room. It's there even more powerful than any television station or radio station. The voice of the Lord brings healing. So that means His word of healing is in this place. The word of God says in Psalms 107:20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Healing's in the place. Amen. How many know joy's in the place? The voice of joy. There's a scripture that talks about the voice of joy. How many know redemption's in the house tonight? Amen. It's all here. And what we do is we don't feel it or see it. Oh, I can sense there's something wrong with the church. We're supposed to be in the day of miracles. But I don't see any miracles anymore. And all the time you're saying that, the voice of the Lord saying, miracles, 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 miracles. Oh, I remember the day when we used to have that. But oh, it's not there anymore. I serve a God you can feel. You also serve a God of faith. And He ain't got the faith receiver out. He ain't going to pick up the station. Amen. For you to get the right frequency, you've got to get turned in to the right. For you to get the right station, you've got to get turned into the right frequency. And the frequency you have to get the voice of healing or the voice of deliverance is channel FAITH. Until you hook up your receiver to faith, you'll never see the miracles you're supposed to see.
Amen.
Amen. They're playing tonight, though. Wow. Let's turn over to that one. Miracle number one. Amen. Let's go to something. Go to Psalms 91. Everybody say two-mouthed.
Two-mouthed.
Now, you're going to see the Holy Spirit. You're going to see Jesus. And you're going to see God talking in Psalms 91. First one is the Holy Spirit's talking through David. He says, now all of them, of course, David is either writing it or he's talking, or the Lord's talking to him and David's recording it. Here's what it says. Verse 1. This is what we have to do, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Okay, number 1. We have to say something, don't we? First, we've got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And secret place is the place of fellowship with the Lord. Because Jesus used that term in the New Testament when He said when we pray, we're supposed to shut our closet and go into that secret place and pray. And our Father which seeth in secret is going to reward us openly. So this is talking about intimate fellowship time with God. This is not talking about corporate prayer meeting. This is talking about your time with God. Okay? But after, when you do that, there's a certain thing you need to declare. Amen? Did you have a good prayer time in your house, Brother Mark? Oh, it was pretty good. I hope the Lord's going to help me now. Well, I just violated verse 2. Didn't say that. I hate that term. Well, if the Lord helps me preach tonight, boy, I sure hope He does, because if He didn't, I might leave, okay? Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is. Remember the He is stuff? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. So this is what I'm supposed to say. The Holy Spirit prompts him to say it. It won't happen if you don't dwell in the secret place of Most High God. Now, I want to show you something here. Now, we just said that the voice of the Lord's in here. Mm-hmm. Now I say Jesus is about to talk here. Okay? Catch it. If you run through Psalms 91, you will not get this. You have to meditate on this. Listen to me. God didn't just say this and it's recorded. Or Jesus didn't just say what we're about to read. Now listen to me, because you gotta go with the flow tonight, alright? Don't listen to God. Don't respond. You can amen me, but don't try to respond back to me. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through these verses. Now, listen to what He's saying to us tonight, because something changed tonight. God had me do something a little different, okay? This is not what God said. This is not what Jesus has said. This is what the voice of the Lord is saying. Everybody say, two-mouth sword. So this is the first mouth talking tonight. Well, that's recorded in the Bible 2,000 years ago. Well, it may be, but how many know we just concluded the fact right before then that His voice is in here tonight. Just because He said it 2,000 years ago doesn't mean He's not still saying it right now. Amen. This ought to put goosebumps on your goosebumps. This ought to make your goosebumps get filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the other goosebumps come up, they pray for them and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? Listen to what it says. Now, this is not David talking here, okay? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thy trust. A noisome pestilence is like a disease that just won't go away, that's hidden, that's secret. This is Jesus speaking to us tonight. He said, if you dwell in that secret place, I'm going to deliver you from the snare of the fowler, that's a trap, and from the noisome pestilence. I'll cover you with feathers, and under your wings shall you will trust. His truth is going to be my shield and buckler. I won't be afraid, glory to God, for the terror by night, that's when the enemy comes in at night and tries to terrify you, right? Nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence or diseases that walk in the darkness, nor for destruction that wastes at the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only what thine eyes shall they behold, and see the reward of the wicked when it cometh. What's that saying? That's saying that Jesus is saying to us tonight, that if you dwell in that secret place and you say, I'm your refuge, I'm your fortress. I mean, you're my refuge, you're my fortress. You're my God and you are trust. When calamity strikes, I'll be cocooned in the protection of God, and it will not come nigh me. I'll see it damage others, but it won't damage me because I'll be cocooned in that blessing and mercy of God. All right?
Okay.
That's what he's saying to us tonight. Boy, you ought to be shouting a little bit. Amen. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Did y'all know? See, that right there tells you that's talking, Jesus talking about the Father, because he said, because thou hast made the Lord, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge and my fortress. See, Jesus talking about his Father now, okay? He said, you say, well, this is before New Testament. Well, how many know? Jesus was around before New Testament. God was around before New Testament. Holy Spirit was around before the New Testament, okay? It says, only with thy eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord. Now here's your another condition, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You've made my Lord the place you want to dwell at. Nothing bad, no evil is going to befall you. Neither is any plague come nigh your dwelling. This is all the first mouth. This is God speaking tonight to us. Jesus is talking about what the Father will do for us if we'll just be obedient, okay? No evil is going to befall you. No plague is going to come nigh your dwelling. If the devil's been lying to you about some evil befalling you, it's a lie. God's saying to us tonight, it's not going to happen. Amen? He said he'll give his angels charge over me, and they'll keep thee in all thy ways. Jesus is saying, they'll bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash your foot against a stone. Jesus is saying, I can tread upon the lion, the adder, and the young lion, the dragon shall trample under feet. Verse 14, God starts talking. Because you can tell the difference in the pronouns here, okay? Personal, who it is, okay? Do y'all see the difference there? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Look at how it changes.
Yeah.
Look at how it changes. It says, because he hath set his love upon me. This is God talking now. Father talking. Father says, because he set his love upon me. Jesus got talking about what the Father did. And Father said, I've got to be one of the mouths that tells this believer what I'm going to do for him, okay? It says, because he set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he'd know my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. Father's talking. I'll be with him in trouble. Father's talking. I'll deliver him and honor him. Father's talking. With long life, Father says, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
All of those are first mouths. Jesus' first mouth, God's first mouth.
Okay.
Now you say, Brother Mark, what about the second mouth? You want to hear the second mouth? Here's the second mouth. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say the Lord's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. And I go to where Father talks. I skip some of it. I do this almost every day. I go to where Father talks. And I always get my Bible out when I do it. I go to where Father talks and I say, I've set my love upon him. He's going to deliver me. He's going to set me on high because I know his name. When I call on him today, he'll answer me. And if I got trouble today, he's going to be right there with me through it all.
Uh-huh.
What have I done? I've let the one mouth become the second mouth, which is me speaking it. Well, I never had anything like that happen. Won't happen if you don't open up the book, man. Won't happen if you don't open up the book. You have to first open up the book for it to happen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands and praise the Lord for a second, for his word. Hallelujah.